You guys can be seated. How's everybody doing today? Awesome. Hopefully you guys are basking in the glow of the after conference. I hope so. I am living on that daily bread every single day, man. It's been awesome, hasn't it? Are we still learning some things? You guys are focused in, zoned in. That's good. Heard a lot of good feedback, wonderful things. You know, it's kind of like one of those Thanksgiving dinners, you know. You get so full, you know, you need a couple of days, huh, Tim? Let's be real. Later that night, we're eating again. Let's be honest. But we're trying anyway. It's kind of like that. You get real full. How many's had to digest on some of those things? You hear it for the first time, you're like, oh, man, I'm stuffed right now. I don't know what to think about all this. And you let God teach it to you over the next several days, weeks, months, even year. don't make any mistakes there. That's how God does this. 1 year to another year to another year. Remember that glory we talked a little bit about? We've kind of all talked about it in some form or another, but we go from glory to glory to glory. That is over a period of time. We let these things absorb and we let them go in, right? And God brings fruit to what he has sown. It comes up, and we're thankful for that. We're going to get right into it this morning, Ephesians chapter 3. My understanding is that there's been, you know, a few comments here and there about some of the things that we taught at the conference. One of the big comments that I've been told, and There's no, how would I say this? It makes sense, right? Is that, man, that was a lot. That was a lot. I don't know really where to go with that right now. And it was intended to be so, just for the record. We knew that going in. It was a sowing. We're working some things in prophecy. But I want to kind of zone in a little bit here this morning. I want to focus in a little bit. Starting with, are there any questions? Anybody just by chance have any questions about specifically the feast days? I'll give you a minute. If you do have any questions, we'll be happy to talk about it. Notice I'm already fidgeting, trying to figure out what the heck I'm going to do with my hands because I don't have a mic.
Hey, Gary.
Yo.
So on the feast days, the seven feast days, you taught that they were all Jesus and he fulfilled every one of those feast days.
Yeah.
And he worked that he's worked it and is working that in us.
Yes, he is all of those feast days. Funny, Annie and I were at breakfast this morning. We were talking about the and Dan spent a lot of time showing you the past 50 years. How many remembers Knuckles? He was the original pastor, right, Keith, of Full Gospel Tabernacle. He was there. He used to teach on a lot of that stuff, didn't he? The tent of meeting, the old sanctuary, the feast days. I didn't really know the aspect of the feast days, but Ann, you were telling me he used to teach on those feast days. But what'd you tell me this morning? How did he teach those?
Well, it was in the flesh.
In the flesh. So, and he also taught them Old Testament. Basically. How they were written in the scriptures and the rituals, the ceremonies of them. Would you say that's correct, Keith? Michelle's shaking her head.
He focused a lot on the ritual.
The ritual.
But you could come to the spirit.
Okay. So, but did he ever bring it to Jesus in the New Testament, bro?
At
times. At time? Did he bring it to the book of Revelation?
No.
Okay. Progression, right? Progression. So, when you go back into the Old Testament, James, you see in that perception an old covenant way of thinking. It was a shadow, according to Hebrews. It's a shadow of things to come. Who became what God intended? Not in a shadow, but the truth of it eternally in the heavens. Jesus is now that. So every single one of those feast days, they are Jesus. Every one of them. He is the Passover. Who passed over your sins? By whose blood? Jesus. Does that make sense? Is that simple or not? That's about as simple as you get. Then you get the second day, which was what? Who remembers? Unleavened bread. What's leaven? It's sin. Who took away our sin? How did he do that? By shedding his blood. You see how the days are tied together? So whenever you're dealing with days, you're dealing with ages, you're dealing with times, they're all connected. They're all dovetailed. One age to another age. Remember when Dan talked about this is the age of the apostle? Is that a standalone day? Or was that tied to another day? In other words, another day had to end so this day could begin. See how that works? Even in the creative days, the days in Genesis, remember that? How did those days come about, Don? How did they happen?
The morning and night, and then they would go to the next day.
The morning and the evening, and that was the end of one day, and the beginning of the next day. See that? So in Hebrews chapter 1, don't worry, we'll get to Ephesians if we can. But in Hebrews chapter 1, in how did it say that? Tim, let's find that real quick. Can you read for me?
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Believe it or not, we're hearing the Hebrew writer talking about a day. Watch this.
God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers.
Hold on. So in sundry times, in times past, what's he saying? In a previous day, in a previous age, God talked to us. He talked unto the fathers by whom?
Prophets.
Now, when we talk like this, does that mean prophets are done away with? Did God destroy the prophets? Jesus did say concerning the prophets to Pharisees, Sanhedrin, the Jews of the time. He said, you have killed the prophets. Everyone God sent to you. Is that right? Guess who else they killed? They killed Jesus. Was Jesus a prophet? Oh, you better believe it. Do we still have prophets among us? We're talking about the age of the apostle, but I promise you, we still have prophets among us, the prophetic. Everything God ever does is by way of prophecy. But see, there's something very interesting, because when you look back, even in the age of the time Rick was here, what worked preeminently? Does anybody know?
Prophet.
Strong prophet. Would you agree with that, Daniel? Strong prophet. Are you saying, Gary, that Rick didn't come to apostolic? Absolutely not. Rick came to apostolic before any of us. He just couldn't get to certain things. He had a very specific job to do. Does that make sense? What did Rick do before he left? He handed the day off. He handed the time off and said, I've done what I came to do. Now I need you boys to do what you're called to do. Does that make sense, Tim?
Yep.
We didn't do away with the prophet, but we entered into another work of God for a brand new day. You guys with me? Did you finish that, bro? Unto the fathers by the prophets.
Next verse. Has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son.
Oh, my goodness.
Whom he has appointed heir of all things.
Last days? Who else talked about the last days?
Joel.
A prophet.
Yeah.
Talked about the last days. Who in the New Testament, being an apostle, talked about the last times or the last days, the appointed times? Who talked a lot about that? Paul in Thessalonians. Who else? John. All of them. That was the answer. All of them. Some of them honed in on some things, which is pretty cool. But depending on which apostle God has you in right now, okay, you might zone in for a little bit more in on the gospel of a particular apostle because God's teaching you something. You wouldn't want to limit yourself to individuality, meaning to just one apostle. But you would, if God has you in Peter, what do you think? Peter going to talk to you?
Yes.
Has he got something to show you? Got something to reveal to you? Why would you dismiss it? You wouldn't want to. What if God actually took you? Could God take you in an apostolic age back to Isaiah and have Isaiah teach you some things? What about that? What if you could visit Isaiah's day? You could literally go to the book of Isaiah, and it says, in the year King Uzziah died. Wait, now we're dealing with years? I mean, it gets big, guys. It gets really, really big. So God's all about timing. He's all about timing. There's a lot going on. And the reason that we're prefacing this is, above everything else, we preach Jesus. God now talks to us by his son and has talked to us by his son. What did his son do? When Jesus came, why didn't Jesus go to all the world? You ever consider that? He didn't even go to the Gentiles. I believe there's two accounts in the Gospels where he dealt with Gentile individuals. Who can name one of them for me? The Samaritan woman at the well. What's the other one? Syrophoenician woman? Been a while since I've read these. What's the Syrophoenician woman? What's that story? Remember? Her daughter? Nope. Her daughter was vexed. And what did Jesus say? I'm but sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Woman, what are you doing? I can't even be talking to you. You're a dog. Oh, boy. What do you think would happen if one of our elders walked up and said, you're a dog. I can't talk to you. It's a Gentile, filthy, unclean thought. I'm only here to save Israel. Well, then we wouldn't be in the age of the apostles. Why is that? Because in the age of the apostles, God sent us to Gentile. Depending on where you're at in God. Okay? We're not here to get into all those aspects. That's not the point. The point is that you can see the days have changed. You can see the times have changed. And they will change again. There's more God wants to do. So why the feast? Well, it's to celebrate Jesus. If you remember in the teaching or the preaching that we did, one of the key thoughts was to exemplify that we are now free. We're free from our former captivity. And that's some of what we're going to talk about here this morning. So let's get into it. Ephesians chapter 3. You know, I probably need to read 7 through 13 just as kind of a base, but I'll do it very quickly. Paul, I want to get to verse 14. But you're going to ask, for this reason I bow my knees. You're going to say, well, what reason was Paul talking about? So I'll read. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of the power of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. Now, this is an apostle talking, by the way. How can you be least than all the saints? You're an apostle. How's that work? It does, doesn't it? Paul said so. He said, though I'm the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So who's those feast days about? Christ. What does Christ mean? What does Christo mean? Anointed. It's not a last name. Are you serious? You guys know that, right? Who thought Christ was Jesus' last name? Jesus Christ. Jesus the Anointed One. That's how you should look at that. So, are there more than just Jesus that have been called, chosen, and anointed? Rick had a dream one time where he saw this great horn of a unicorn full of oil, and he poured it over your pastor's head, doused him with oil, and made him a prophet, king, and priest of the Lord. Big old horn. Rick told me, he said, Gary was like this big. Yeah, Rick was. If he caught a fish, it was this big. So it was always this big, 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 you know. So this unicorn was big, full of oil. So we got another anointed one. You're like, oh, shoot, now you're making me nervous now. You trying to replace Jesus? Come on, man, no. This is what Jesus did. He added to himself. He procreated himself. We've got other anointed ones because of him. You see that? We're a family of anointed ones. Gosh, man, that's so exciting. Where are we at here? Unsearchable riches of Christ. Why is it unsearchable? Brian's been teaching a little bit on this. It's a mystery. And you ain't getting it unless the Lord gives it to you. Is that simple enough? I'm trying to stay real simple this morning. Preach to the Gentiles unsearchable riches of Christ to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God. My goodness. How long has God hid these truths? How long has God been around? How many days do you think God is? You say, well, God's 7 days. No. Well beyond 7 days. He is beyond. The Ancient of Days in the context of Christo is Christ, Jesus. He's the Ancient of Days. But did God exist even before the body? Okay, moving on. The mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, did you hear that? Through the church. Now we have, you guys remember the message we preached in Colossians? The church is the body. Jesus Christ is the preeminent one. He's the head of the church, which is the body. So we, the church, are the body of Jesus Christ. So we're the body of God. Dan mentioned perfecting the church. You talked a little bit about that, Tim, remember? We're going to tie right into that. Everything God is doing right now in this age is what? Perfecting the saints. That's the reason in Ephesians 4 he talks about the fivefold ministry, which included the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. All of those giftings, all of those offices exist within this body. They sure do. Every one of them, believe it or not, is working right now. Every one of them in our midst, in our body, they're all working. The apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, I'm getting them out of order, whatever. The teacher, all of it, it's all working. And it's working all the time according to what? According to the need. I like that answer, according to prophecy. But according to the need. So prophecy ordained this. Prophecy destined this. James, you were mentioning predestination to me. That's prophecy. He predestined that at this time, the will of God would come forth in the sonship God ordained for you. Does that make sense? How many relate to that? How many say that? I'm on that train right there. I'm on the Holy Ghost train this morning, right? Now watch this. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. My God, you mean there are rulers and authorities in heavenly places that are taking notice of this that's going on right now? You say, what? Well, that's talking about evil rulers and principalities and princes over cities and all that stuff. Let me put this in order. God's government and kingdom is highly exalted above anything the kingdom of Satan has put in motion. God's had rulers and authorities and governments and diversities of authority and so forth. And Jesus comes along into the world and says, all power both in heaven and earth is given unto me. So he leads the whole thing. Isn't that amazing? So that through the church, these things may come forth that rulers and authorities in the heavenly places are going to come to know this wisdom. In other words, God by the church is going to teach them. They're going to learn some things from what God does here, from what God has done in our body, what God has done in our church. You know, there's angels that even look into some of these things. Would you believe me if I told you that there's some angels that have never fallen? They never left. You're like, ooh, I want to be that one. I had somebody tell me recently, like, oh, no, I don't want to know nothing. I want to know nothing. Just God, just love, just peace, just joy, just bliss, just light. Don't talk to me about no devils. Don't talk to me about serpents. Don't talk to me about Satan. I don't want to know none of it. Huh. Interesting. What if I told you that the reason you know about those things is because you agreed to a choice you made, Don, in the beginning? God talked to you. You want to learn about this? You want to learn some things here? It's too much? Too much to conversate about? You guys are awful quiet on me this morning. You got a lot going on is what I'm saying. But watch this. I didn't mean to preach this part. I got to get moving here. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I'm just going to tell you something. This writing right here is absolutely mind-blowing. God, through the church and in Jesus Christ, has come to know some things that is absolutely amazing, because it's no longer just something told, just something said. It is something fulfilled. Heaven has been increased by these things. This is probably more for our eldership and our ministry. So pay attention. There are things in you right now that God is discovering. We talk about iniquity being found. What about the righteousness of the saints being found in you, bro? What about men made perfect? What about kings and priests and authorities in you coming to the knowledge of the very will of God, hidden for ages in God? But God in you now has come to realize that in Christ, these things have been made manifest for the benefit of the sonship, and that the heaven in you is being increased. You know, hell has enlarged herself. There's princes and powers and wickedness and rulers in high places that work against the gospel of Jesus Christ. We sometimes tend to stop there. Do you know that there's rulers and authorities in heaven that are learning even now as we speak? They're learning right now that no power that comes against God will prevail. Do you know the Son of God in you, Tim, has to learn what Jesus told Peter? I will build my church upon a rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When you hear that, you think you know that. But you know when you really know that? Is when God in you realizes that has come to pass. God has proven himself. He has not lied to me. Everything he told me is true. God did build and is building his church on a rock, and the gates of hell have not prevailed against it. That's God in you. That's the Son of God in you beginning to realize these things. Am I talking to anybody? Okay. That was all the Holy Ghost. I didn't have a single intent to preach any of that, just for the record. This was according to the eternal purpose realized in Christ Jesus, that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Now you'll have a little better understanding of what Paul says in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family, did you hear that, Keith? Every family. You mean there's more than one? There's more than one family in heaven? Oh, there's a lot of families in heaven. I understand in totality it's God's family. That it's the Lord's family. It all came from him. But did you know that Keith, as a high priest in heaven, has a family? He has his own clan. Don't get mad at me. Just try to believe me. He has his own family, his own heritage. He's reproduced some things. Actually, quite a few. It's a big family. And on it goes. You ever wonder why God had seven elders here? Why? Why did God have seven elders? Why didn't he just send Rick or just send Dan? Why, or just Keith? Why seven? Because we're dealing with seven entities, man. Seven spirits of God. Seven families, believe it or not. Seven progressions. 7 days. A lot going on there. Not going to get into that. But watch this. Don't worry, we're getting to the feast. Everybody just hang tight. What time is it? We got plenty of time, right? Texas Roadhouse ain't even open right now. All right. From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Let me ask you guys a question. Is this a family? Is the Chicago church a family? Ah. Yes. Oh. So every family in heaven, every family in earth. You know, I go to all the churches. So when I go to Yuma, I enter into a family. That's a family down there. Trust, it's a family. You know, family don't always, you know, get along. Sometimes you have Thanksgiving and it's a WWE contest or a UFC fight. At least that's what it was when we were growing up in Florida. I'd count the clock. Oh, 10 minutes. Couple uncles about to throw down. And there they go, right over the sofa, fighting like a bunch of heathen. That's the way it went. Thank God we're not in that anymore. I'm so happy. We can actually just sit down and have a good Thanksgiving meal and be happy. Look across the table, not hate anybody. That's so good. It means a lot. What'd you feel at the conference? All the churches, all the families came together. And it was all one family. How important was that to God? I'm going to tell you, it was very important. Very, very important. So we got a lot of families. You guys need to understand that in due time, Tim, I'll use you as the example right now. In due time, bro, you've got a family here in this earth with Michelle, you and your son, and you've got your daughter and so forth. That's awesome. It truly is. Be good in all of that. But, bro, in you, there's a family. He's in the very beginning stages of teaching you how to build a family, bro, a church. He's training you up, a young man, how to become what you need to be when you have your own family. You better be thankful that Dan is being so gracious, just like I am, just like anybody. You better be gracious when you get up here, because you're not entitled to be here. You have opportunity, and I look forward to every opportunity. But for you, bro, a little bit different, because it's a training ground right now where you're going to be taught and groomed and learn how to handle a family, a church, a kingdom. Does that make sense? So, until then, take care of the vision of the man who's governing his family right now that you have been made partaker of. Does that make sense? Okay, where are we at? 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in where? In your inner. I like the ESV on this one. I'll tell you why. Inner man, I get it, the inward man, we've preached the heck out of it for so many years, but I like the word being. You know why I like the word being, Don? It's not limited to an avatar. It's not just limited to Don Ellis. There is an inner person here, an inner man, an inner woman that's in you. Tim, there's an inner man in you, but when you take it up, and you go into the realms of God's eternities, it becomes more about a being. You exist in God. You can go into places where there are no images. You go into the eternities of thought, and you're just you and God, and the thought is in your very consciousness, in your being. It permeates you. God doesn't have to show you an image because he imparts, he puts his thought into you, and it's understood. And from that, if an image is needed, you can go right into the creative process of bringing that image to pass. But I'll be honest with you, a lot now, the image is not needed in that sense. The thought of God is so wonderful within the being, within the embodiment of the consciousness you are in God. He permeates you, and the wisdom and knowledge of what God is sharing with you is profoundly imparted to you. And you know now what God meant. You know now what God is saying. And you know, that's how you walk with God every single day, no matter what you're doing. I hear people all the time say, man, I got a job, I'm working, I'm busy, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this. I just went down to Little Rock for almost a week with all kinds of negativities and fires and everything you could possibly think of. From the top layer of our company down, everybody was on fire. And I'm down there in the meditation of God, but handling all the business we had to handle. God never left my thought, not once. Never left my being, never left my consciousness. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about an inner man. Does that add a little light to it? Okay. So in your inner being, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You guys remember at the conference, we talked just for a minute when we got to the seventh feast. Who remembers what it was? Feast of Tabernacles. So we had to go through the seven. We have the Passover. We have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's Jesus getting rid of sin, dying for sin. We have the Feast of First Fruits. He's the firstborn of many brethren. Then we have the fourth, Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, which is 50, by the way, paralleling to the year of Jubilee. Remember, it's seven feasts a year. Every seventh year is a sabbatical year. That sabbatical year was a year of rest. They didn't sow. They just literally God provided. That's pretty awesome. And then seven times seven is 49. You get to the 49th year of having these feasts seven times a year. And you come to the 50th year, which was what? Year of Jubilee. What happened in the year of Jubilee? All debts are forgiven. Slavery was released. If your generation, let's say if Keith had generations that fell on hard times and they had to sell themselves to an owner. Oh, this is Bible. Don't freak out on me. This is Bible. They had to become servants of a master. Paul deals with this. They had to become servants of a master to pay off debt. In that 50th year, your generations were loosed. They were freed. Debt was removed. The master could no longer hold debt over them. Juliet was forgiven. Imagine a brand new start. I'm going to tell you, that's what God's doing for us. That's what God's doing for us. Some of you are like, oh, but I've had it so hard. They abused me so bad in religion. Look, everything we went through, we changed 1,000 times. I don't care if we changed 100,000 times. The truth was what we were always after. And when Jesus showed up, that was it. The only reason we're changing now, like Dan said a week or two ago, is because we're always going to be changing and growing and enlarging in God now. But now it's in truth, Julie. I promise you, if any elder gets out of line even for a second, Guess what God does? Hey, you remember where you came from. You remember who you are. We done been down that road. We ain't going down that again. You get that thought out. Or better yet, you don't go out to war with that thought. You stay here, do what I told you to do. That's how plain God will talk to an elder. You don't believe me? Ask Keith and Daniel. They'll tell you. Elders get reproved more than anybody. So before you start feeling sorry for yourself, just know. And you know, one of my favorites is, y'all don't understand what I'm going through. Really? You could be talking to someone that's experienced the depths of Satan, and you're going to say to that person, y'all don't know what I'm going through. Man, we know more than you think we know about what you are going through. And what we're telling you is the answer. Stay with us. Follow Jesus. Follow us as we follow Jesus. And guess what? God's no respecter of persons. The same way he got us out, he'll get you out. Got to stay close, though. Where are we at, Megan? 19. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. But you notice, when I preached at the conference, and I was wrapping it up toward the final feast, and some of you, you know, you could be in different places and all that. You guys remember, don't let me forget that thought, Megan, but you remember the service we had on the communion? How many remembers that? Dan, you've made a mention a couple times that was a pivotal moment, right? What if I told you that was our Passover? That was our church Passover. Does that make sense, Daniel? That was our feast day of Passover. That's what that was. That's why it was so spiritually profound. Now, I didn't preach that back then. I actually preached what I dreamed that morning. I did, for my part. We all three preached, right? I preached remembrance. Do this in remembrance. You remember that? Do you remember that? That's pretty funny. That's what I preached. And the reason I preached it then was because I remembered. Because in the dream, I was at the table with the Lord, and he was giving us the bread and giving us the blood. And he told us that. Do this in remembrance of me. I dreamed that morning. I don't think I've ever said that. This is how we do this. This is how your pastor does this. This is how Keith does this. This is how the Chicago church, going back to Rick, this is how it all gets done. You work the spirit. We work the spirit. It's nonstop now. I'm just telling you. You say, man, you sound a little cocky here. No. I was cocky. Now I'm confident. Who knows the difference? Cockiness will get you the boot. Oh, yeah. I told you, God don't mess around. Michael don't mess around. You ever had Michael handle you? Okay. So we had our Passover. Since that time, God has worked this church through several of those feasts. I gave the example. You lights in heaven. I gave the example. In Boise, at what Brian calls the week of Pentecost, I gave the example of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost for our ladies, the wives of our elders. They have a little chat thing. I don't know where Naomi's at, but they have a little chat. She teaches Sunday school. Good. All right. Perfect. I'm so happy these ladies are teaching Sunday school. That's amazing and awesome and wonderful, and I just bless it, man. It's so good. So Dan runs a really good ship, doesn't he? So We have the lights in heaven. They have a little chat. They call themselves the lights in heaven. That's good, because that's what it is. Not them physically, but in prophecy. That's how I see you. Shell, that's how I see you. Nothing you can do to change my mind about it. Can't do it. Won't do it. Just the way it is. All right. So you got Feast of Pentecost. We've been through those. The Passover, the unleavened bread. How long has Dan taught about sin, being delivered from sin? Unleavened bread. Do you see? You see how simple this actually is? You guys think, no, that's Leviticus 25. Those are Old Testament stuff. Man, why are we talking about that stuff? No. Jesus is the fulfillment of every one of those feast days. Jesus, while he was in the earth, the first go-around, finished four of them before the church age came. The third being the first fruits that killed him, he raised from the dead. I mean, prophetically and in God, they were all finished before he ever arrived. Let's be clear on that. Okay? In prophecy, it's already done. How many times you hear Rick say, in God, it's already done? Well, if I told you, Don, in God, you're finished. You're finished. Rick could look at them eyeballs. You see them eyeballs? Like, what? We don't know these things. We don't know this. What if I told you that in Rick and Dan and Keith and myself, you're much further along than you are in your own mind, and you're much further along than you think you are? Does that make sense? Well, I don't see no evidence of these deacons running around here, and I'm not referring to them now. I don't see no evidence of these deacons acting like Dan and Rick and all these guys. But in my world, bro, in these others' worlds that they could tell about, you guys are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, casting out devils, turning entire cities upside down for God, man. That's in our world. Why? Because you can come through these feast days in Christ, come into that church age and beyond, and these things be fulfilled in prophecy, not just something yet to come. So what's the key? What's the point? Are we not sharing those experiences with you? No, we don't get up here every single time and tell every single dream we ever have. We're not going to do that. We're going to stay in good counsel. I'd like at some point to preach on witness because it's burning in my heart, but there's just things we got to get to in the order of God. But there are witnesses among us that God has established now. And they're trustworthy. They're true and faithful, actually. But when we get to Pentecost, we go into a church age. What's the promise? What's the promise after that? Jesus put it in a parable in Matthew 13 concerning the tares and the wheat. He said what? In the last day, at the end of the world, what's going to happen? The harvest. He said, the Son of Man shall send his reapers. Wait, sons of God, sons of men have reapers? You have angels? Because that's what he said they were. Angels. You have reapers? We can call on angels to come into that earth and gather what has been brought forth by those apostolic ministry. By those preachers and teachers and baptizers, all those guys that are working together as a whole, as an entity. No one-man show. The whole body working together seamlessly in the inward man, in the inner being. And they gather the harvest. The harvest is ready. Anybody still looking to see if it's time yet? Or did Jesus say, the fields are white? Ready for harvest. You see how he handed the day off? He said, look, I'm here for you. I'm here for you guys. You guys are going to go forth now. And what's the word say? Did they turn the world upside down? So they took those first four feasts, partakers with Jesus, and went forth in the church age, the age of the apostles. The age of apostolic ministry is how I'm probably going to call it going forth, because it's all inclusive of prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, all of it. It all comes from that apostle. That's what happens. Because if you're in the apostle, you can work it all. Okay? Does that make sense? Where are we at here? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly. Go back for just a minute to which verse is, there it is, verse 18. May have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth. You remember, toward the end, I've tried four times to get to this. Here we are. Toward the end, before we got into the Feast of Tabernacles, we made reference of the city of God, the temple of the Lord. You remember that? This is some of what I want to get to before we wrap up this morning. This is important. In the tent of meeting, it was a 10 by 10 by 10 Holy of Holies place. Perfect cube. All covered in gold. Everything in the thing was covered in gold. It was covered by a veil. Remember that? You guys know your Bibles, right? You had to go through the outer court with the brazen laver. You had to go into the inner court. You had the first section of the temple. Keith, a lot better than I am at this, but you go into the table of showbread. Help me out, Keith. The candle, seven golden candlesticks, and the altar of incense. Had a dream one time. Keith was the angel of the Lord, and he was walking through the temple of the Most High God, and he had this, man, this censer was huge. Man, he was just going through there, and the smoke was just pouring up, and he was offering the prayers of the saints before the altar of God. And all those enemies that were working in the earth against them, he took that same incense thing, and it was boiling with coals, man, of fire. And he slung that, just slung it to the earth and brought judgment to the evil, to the wicked. I'm telling you, God's got our back, doesn't he? So you go through all these events. You leave that particular section. Before I do, though, I was in a dream recently, and I saw this son of God. Can't tell you right now who he was, but I saw this son of God. And beautiful. You know, sons of God in the heavenly realm are actually beautiful. If you get to see them in that lower realm, their countenance, very, very beautiful. You say, you can't say that about a man. I'm just telling you. It's a beautiful thing. But he's pouring. He's not in the priest. He's not in the priest ephod and all that stuff, Keith. He's not like what we see in the Old Testament with the hat and the ephod and the robes and stuff. But he's pouring the oil in that candlestick, and he's making sure the light never goes out. The fire can never go out. That was the deal. That was the word of the Lord. And that was his final task. And when he's done, he begins to walk toward the veil. But this time, instead of the veil and behind that veil there being a golden-covered Ark of the Covenant with two carved out cherubims of shittim wood covered in gold. The top plate was solid gold, mind you. God's very eccentric in that regard. He loves gold, it's obvious. He has a lot of his artifacts made in gold. But this time it was two living beings. Living beings, not carved out figures. And they opened the veil. And behind that veil, guys, I'm just telling you, one of the most amazing things you could possibly imagine. Things beyond that veil that God wants to show his people. It's our inheritance, our hope, it's our home. It's where God's taking us. And the word of God that's being preached, that's its intent. Because how did the book of Revelation talk when it came to the tabernacle or the temple? How did it say? What did it say, Keith? There is no temple. The Lord is the temple. So that realm, that's all in him, isn't it, Megan? But now you want to know what it was, don't you? You're like, well, what was there? What did you see? We'll see. See that? We'll see if you can see what we see in time to come. We're going to believe God for that. The sons of God have access now to these places. I'll give you a little hint. Remember that garden Adam used to dwell in? That's part of it. That's part of it. But imagine that tenfold. And the very mountain of God, the whole nine yards is there. And you got cherubims inviting you in. Remember that cherubim God said at the east gate? What do you have, Don? Two-edged flaming sword. Have you ever tried to get back to God full of stubbornness and rebellious and sin and all of those things? Have you ever tried to get back? You're not sure? I'll send you to your pastor. He'll help you with that. What about you, Ann? You sure you did? What about you, Tim?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. But that's because it's in your consciousness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who's helping you with that? First of all, did that cherubim let you back in?
No.
Take that all the way down to this earth. Have you ever sit across from a table? Mm-hmm. Did your pastor let you away with it?
No.
Did he let you into those heavenly things?
No.
Why? Because you bring in the wrong thing?
Yeah.
So that sword of God is like, you can't be part of this tabernacle. When you get to that fifth festival and the trump of God sounds, the archangel himself splits it open and comes and puts his feet on Mount Olive. I think it's Mount Olive. And prophesies the coming of the great king. And then that sends you into the Day of Atonement. This is all in Revelation. We're not going to go back there right now. But it's all in Revelation. The point is when God's done, the archangels come, the prophecy's been fulfilled, the marriage supper of the Lamb is taking place. Now you've got Revelation 19, the devil's put into the pit for the 1,000-year reign. We're in the day of rest. Tell me, has that not been preached? The day of rest. Who remembers? You don't sometimes put the pieces together. But all the way back to our Passover, our ceremony of communion, where we're remembering the Lord. Prophecy was working it, Tim, in our church. Can you see that? Can you see how the progression of it has begun to take place? Has been taking place. For some among us, that last trump has sounded. They've heard those trumpets. You've got multiplicity of things working in prophecy right now. But then that Day of Atonement comes and God begins to pour out judgment. You guys know the story. He's loosed. He goes out, gathers Gog, Magog, Ezekiel 37, 38, all of that, Valley of Dry Bones, the whole nine yards, prophecy being fulfilled. Fire comes down from heaven, destroys the whole bunch of them, the whole lot of them. That's a final purging. The final purging. Some, that's yet to be. But for some, those things have begun. For some, those things have happened. And then what happens? What happens? What's next? We're closing. What's next? You don't know the book of Revelation still? Come on, man. Help me out. Revelation 21. New heaven, new earth. Is this the Feast of Tabernacles? Is God creating that among us? How can God create that among us now? How? I want to close with this thought. How? How could we jump to the seventh festival, the seventh feast, and be in the Feast of Tabernacles? Feast of Tabernacles was a huge celebration for the Israelites. They put up temporary booths. They put different kinds of plants and so forth on the ceiling, but they had to leave gaps so they could see the stars and see the heavens because God didn't want to be forgotten in any of it. He was letting them know, I did this. What was the theme of the conference? God did this, right? So they'd set up those temporary booths and they would have festivals. They would invite one another. Sounds like the book of Acts, man. Sounds like the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 40, 41, 42.
They had all things common, one accord, one mind, one spirit. All their possessions, they sold it all, and they just all come together. Can you see it? Can you see that's what God's been doing? Do you know why is my question? What is that? Got reindeer on the roof or something? It's not even Christmas, man. That's Dan's gonna be like, I ain't never been. The whole time I'm thinking there's somebody outside, and I'm ready to send somebody outside to handle business. How long have I been preaching? Okay. We're good. We're gonna wrap up. Everybody hang with me. The temple in heaven, what is it? Who is it? It's Jesus. What did Jesus say? John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions, many temples, I'm going to interpret it for you, many kingdoms. What if I told you it's also many creatures, living creatures? What if I told you that it's not about a building, it's about a body? How many of you among us have a body in heaven? Dave raised his hand. John, you raised your hand. I'm going to have to listen to y'all's witness on that, boys. How many of you have a body? Or are you afraid to answer? We had two answer right away. You know who 100%, 1,000 most definitively does have a body? Who would it be here, Micah? Your pastor. I'm leaving myself out of this for a minute, for the rest of the minutes. I know I got a body, but who's got a body here? Who is really the Chicago church? Are you not partaking right now of a body? Is he not baptizing you into his body, Tim?
Yes. Yes.
So are you in his Feast of Tabernacles?
Yes.
Oh. So wait, it's possible that you haven't yet come to the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, if you have, you're going to have to walk me through all seven. Does that make sense? Where do you think you're at, by the way? Which one? I'm curious now. You need some time to think?
I would think about that, yes.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that. I want to hear back from you. Okay. Anybody else want to answer that? They're like, nope. Don't point at me either, please. Don't worry, we're not. Do you understand when Rick would preach, I'm baptizing you into my body? You see that? So what am I saying? Do we have sons among us that have come into these things, that are now preaching these things to gather you into themselves? Is that what's happening? Makes you look at the Chicago church a little bit different, doesn't it? You're like, well, no, I just thought we were just all here, and it's the Chicago church. It is. Don't think any different. But I do want you to get stretched a little bit in this thought. When you're coming here on a Sunday morning, don't just think I'm coming to hear another word. I'm coming to hear another good message, another good teaching. Does that make sense? How many follow what I'm saying? What should you be thinking, Don? Why did Rick say you were marrying his world? Why was that even important? I'm about finished. What? But it was already in his. Was he trying to join you to himself? For what purpose? Listen. Not to that. But he was joining you to what God in him had already come to. What you in him had already come to. How's that benefit you? Does it provoke you? Did it provoke you?
Oh, yeah.
What has it done since then?
Been added to.
It's been added to? Does it take 20, 30, 40 years, or could we come to some of these things in this lifetime? The real question is, does God intend to repeat it in you? So it's not just for Dan or me or Rick or Keith. It's for you. Does that make sense? Dan comes to his kingdom into the Feast of Tabernacles, but in prophecy sees you coming at some point. That's the will of God. That doesn't mean you're where he's at. It just means you're en route.
The tent of meeting was a 10 by 10 by 10. That's like, God help me, 800 cubits of volume total. But then you get to Solomon's temple, and he was like, oh no, we're going to do a double portion. His was a 20 by 20 by 20. That was like 8,000 in volume. But then you get into the Spirit on the Lord's Day, where God opens the door in heaven, and by the time we get over to chapter 21, God shows John the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, and the angel's got a measuring stick, and he measures 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500. That is a cosmic explosion of increase. It's like 1,500 miles in every direction, height, breadth, width, everything. That's a big God we serve. Now, if you go out here thinking about all that as a literal, you'd mess up on that. But I am just going to tell you, God is all about increase and progression. So how big can God get in you? How big? No end. Be no end. So you mean eternity. We got a lot to go through in eternity. It's unfortunate all that racket is on that recording, but it is what it is. Any questions?
Gary.
Yes, because you had a question, Tim, but I overlooked you. No, go ahead.
You had made a comment about, like, you asked if you had a body in heaven, but you talked about how for many of us we're being baptized into an elder's body.
Mm-hmm.
So could you say, yes, you have a body in heaven because you're in that body? Or
yeah, you could say that.
But you do also, there's a point where you realize you have a body.
Yes.
It's not just
yes.
In
other words, if you go back to where Rick kind of kicked this whole thing off, he was in a lot of creative aspects working those things to baptize many of you into his body. But you could say, technically speaking, he was the first to attain unto a body in heavenly places among us. But at one point, where a man like Daniel or Keith or any of these others start off in thought and they're hearing that preaching, Rick is doing it from here. He's doing it from within his sonship. But one day that all gets birthed. And what happens when a son of God is born? He has his own body. And eventually that began to happen for one elder and another elder and another elder and so forth. So they have their own bodies. What do you think they're trying to do for you? Are they trying to bring you into everything God has shared for them? Brought them into? Now there's order to that, and you're not going to come into everything they've come into right now. But what about if you just be patient, not overthink it, and just be happy that you're getting what you're getting from them because it's where you're at in God. And as God is bringing you through these feasts, which is to say bringing you up in Christ, you're growing up into the fullness and stature of Jesus Christ, will God not do the same eventually?
Yeah.
I know some of you think, well, I could never be like Dan or Rick or Brian or any of these guys. It's not true. You could be. Maybe not right now, but you will be in time, in God's eternity. That's just the way it works. Might be sometime, but our ministry team, you need to really pay attention because you've been trained and taught and prepared to have your own kingdom, or could I just say it the way we're saying it this morning? Your own body. you could become the temple of the Lord. So it'd be no more different to say that when Paul, for example, is talking to the churches, who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? Himself. Those are in him, bro. They're his churches. They're born of him. You see that? If you keep this inward, that's the way you got to preach it. If you don't keep it inward, you'll preach it another way. But that's the way right there. Every single one of those churches, they were in Paul. In fact, most of them, he birthed them. They didn't exist without him. He's the one that brought them forth by the Holy Ghost. That's another time. How many have just a little bit better understanding, maybe, of how some of these feasts are going to walk you through and cause you to become more and more like Christ? What was your question, Tim, and then we'll wrap it up. Oh, you didn't? Okay. I thought I saw you raise your hand, but it was just to grab your glasses, right? What's up, Sharon? If you have a family, it's because you have reproduced. So you'd have a body, wouldn't you? Of course, here's the thing. This is how powerful God is. Did God do that first in thought in the beginning? He did. So in his mind and consciousness, did he have it long before an image? Did he have this family in his thought and mind? Before the world was? See, in the consciousness of God, that's how God thinks. But what makes the body so important is that image. Because you could get deceived by just thought, couldn't you? You ever have a thought come to you in the middle of the day? And it begins to talk to you? And it even talks to you like it's God? You ever have that? Well, what if it's not God? How would you know? An evil spirit could have presented itself to you, but you don't know. You let God put a body to that thing, and I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to discern every single thought in that thing. You go into its body, you're going to discern it all. Does that make sense? Any other questions? We're having a lot of good times, aren't we? The feast of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the year of the Lord, I should say, the year of the Jubilee. We literally had a festival to celebrate it at our conference. But spiritually speaking, there are some awesome things to come, guys, in these feast days. And that is all being done in Christ. Amen? God bless you guys.